Well, good afternoon, brethren. I expected another hymn, and I'm not going to sing it. Good to see everybody here. Boy, where did everybody come from? I've never seen this many here for a long time. That's wonderful. You know, brethren, we live in a world that is increasingly crass, selfish, and anything but godly. Mr. Mingus talked about this a little bit, which is evident from the enormous unrest around the world. And you could say the unrest within the United States. There's so much. These characteristics seem to be a world away from what the Bible describes as holiness. If you turn with me to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, scripture that we read a lot, beginning in verse 1, but it says, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful," and you notice, "unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control," or say no character, or "brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." It says, "And from such people turn away." But this is the world we live in. It's a wretched world in that sense. A lot of anger. A lot of commotions that cause people to do weird, bad things. The Apostle Paul told a church in Corinth, says, "to perfect holiness in the fear of God." That's from taken from 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says, "to perfect holiness." Now, some churches and groups refer to their leaders or leader as "Your Holiness," "Most Reverend or Holy," "His Highness," "Most Holy Father." Now, are these people really holy? Are they holy according to the biblical definition? Do their lives display holiness? I guess the questions are, what you have to ask is, first of all, what is holiness? How do you become holy? How do Christians perfect holiness? How does a Christian display holiness in his or her life? And of course, how important is holiness to God? Today what I want to do, I want to discuss what holiness is and why it is so important for a Christian to have it today and forever. Now, this subject isn't talked about a whole lot. That's why I chose to get into it a little bit. But let's first, before we go on, define our terms. Holy, or another word you could say sanctified, it's a synonym really, can be interpreted to mean righteous or pure. The Hebrew word for holy or holiness is Qadosh. That's Q-U-A-D-O-S-H. And its variations is that of apartness, distinction, or set apart. Sanctified, consecrated, hallowed. Then you also have a Greek word, hagios, that's H-A-G-I-O-S, and its derivatives imply an absence of fault or impurity. So to be holy means to be cleansed of faults and set apart by God, who is himself faultless and pure. In other words, holy. Now, holiness or holy is mentioned over 600 plus times in the Bible. So I would say, if it's mentioned that much, it must be important. Because remember, the Bible is God-breathed. It's His words. Now, if you looked into Romans 7, verse 12, you don't have to turn to it, but it talks about the law is holy, just, and good. That's God's law. In other words, it is flawless. It's a flawless code of conduct set forward by God in the Bible. That's His law. Even the keeping of the Sabbath day, holy. As mentioned in Exodus 20, 8 to 11, means observing it in the way that the Bible instructs us to, which means set apart from the other days of the week. It's the same with the holy days. They're special days made holy by God. The Sabbath is very holy by God, and so it's different. It's set apart. It's for a special purpose. Likewise, in 2 Peter 2 talks about being a holy nation of God, God's people. Means living His way of life, which sets His people apart from the rest of the world. You could say holiness could be defined as loving God and doing what He says to us, tells us to do. You could also look at holiness and say it's the very opposite of worldliness. The very opposite. You know, the God of the Old Testament, which is really Jesus Christ in the New Testament, is referred to as the Holy One of Israel. Turn with me to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, beginning in verse 14, it says, "Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth, and you shall thrash the mountains and beat them small, and make them hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord, and the glory in the Holy One of Israel." It refers to, again, the Holy One of Israel. In verse 20 it says, "And they shall see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel created it." So God is referred to as the Holy One of Israel. Then you can notice God's instruction to ancient Israel. We'll just look at a few little scriptures here. Go to Leviticus 20. In verse 7 it says, "Consecrate yourselves, therefore." Now that's another word for holy, really. Consecrate yourselves. And it says, "And be holy, for I am the Lord your God." These are instructions to Israel. In verse 26, it also says, "And you shall be holy to me. For I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine." Set apart for a special purpose. That's what He's telling Israel. If you go back to Leviticus 11, beginning in 45, it says, "For I am the Lord which brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." It says, "You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." And in verse 46, talks about, "This is the law of the animals and the birds and every living creature that moves in the waters and every creature that creeps in the earth." And it goes through eventually here what is clean and what is unclean and so on. So we, being the people of God and Israel too, we are to be holy. And it's tied into the clean meats that we eat versus the unclean. That's part of making us holy in a physical sense, but really spiritually too. We go to Leviticus 19, just a few pages over. Verse 2, it says, "And speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Again, it says it over and over in the Old Testament to Israel, to be holy. Then it tells them just how they can become holy by not doing certain things and doing other things. And verse 29 talks about not prostituting your daughter and causing her to be a harlot and all kinds of different things in the scripture, basically telling Israel to shape up and be the holy people that he wants them to be. We can go to Deuteronomy 14. Beginning at verse 1, it says, "You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves nor shave the front of your head for the dead. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all peoples who are in the face of the earth. And you shall not eat anything detestable thing." And then he goes through the clean and unclean things, which is part of their holiness. And you can read through yourselves from Deuteronomy 17 right through Deuteronomy 26, where God instructs Israel to be kept clean, to be healthy, setting themselves again apart from others. Talks about tithing. Talks about how to treat the poor. Warfare rules. Laws of sexual morality. And other miscellaneous type of laws. Even quarantine. Stuff like that. So he wants them to be set apart. Be a special people. Be completely different from the world. He wants them to be a holy people. We can go to Deuteronomy 26, right at the end, and just read a little wee bit of it here. 26, it says, verse 16, "This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments." Again, listing a whole bunch prior to this. "Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart, with all your soul. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, that you will obey his voice. Also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people, just as he promised you that you should keep all his commandments, and that he will set you above all nations which he has made, in praise, in name, in honor, that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. So he wanted Israel to be this kind of holy group of people, special people, set aside for special purpose. That was the kind of instruction that he gave ancient Israel. Now today he calls individuals out of this world, called you and I out of this world to have a special relationship with him. He calls us brethren. It's a family term. And we are to be part of a close relationship with our Heavenly Father and his Son Jesus Christ. He wants that relationship with us. Because as you'll see, we are also a holy people, special people to God. Turn to 1 Peter 2. Notice. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, talking about us, talking about the New Testament church, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we are the very people of God, brethren. We are special to God. He wants us to be holy. And if you read through 1 Peter 3, I'm not going to read it, but there's instructions for husbands and wives, how to treat one another, how they should be acting, and so on. That's all part of being holy to God. So we are to come out of this world and live our lives representing the values reflected in God's law and his statutes. Notice what Jesus Christ says in Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Beginning in verse 36, it says, Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Remember, part of the people of God is to love God, keep his commandments. Since this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Says, on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. So there's love towards God and love towards our neighbor. This is part of our holiness. Holiness is our association with God and his revealed way of life. Living our lives to love God and our fellow man is a quest that takes us away from a selfish lifestyle and turns our focus on serving God and others. In other words, helping and giving. It's away from the self. That's holiness. Set apart for special purpose, special use. You go to Ephesians 1, Ephesians 1, verse 4, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In other words, we are called to be holy. That's part of our calling. He wants us to be holy. Ephesians 4, just a couple pages over, beginning in verse 21, says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on a new man which is created according to God. Then it says, in true righteousness and holiness. So God wants us to change. He wants us to repent. He wants us to get rid of that old man, that old worldly attitude maybe, or conduct that we had, and put on the new man. True godly holiness. He wants us to be holy in everything that we do, in our conduct, in our actions. And just a few pages over in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 13, it says, therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but he who called you is holy, and you also be holy in all your conduct. So God isn't beating around a bush here. He says be holy in our conduct, in everything, in our thinking, in our conduct, in everything. He wants us to be holy as God is holy. So we need to ask ourselves the following questions. When we feel negative or perhaps are about to lash out at someone, expressing that anger that Tony Dominguez mentioned, maybe about to do something we really shouldn't do, ask yourselves, what would Jesus Christ do? Now, a lot of times we have a hard time asking ourselves that because it happens so fast. But we need to do that. What would Jesus Christ do? Are my thoughts and actions reflecting holiness? Like a behavior of a potential king or priest? Is it my right to judge others? Now, you can judge actions. If you see something that is wrong, yeah, you should say, well, no, I'm not going to do that. But to judge others, putting them down or condemning them? Do I feel I am the exception to obeying God's law? Well, that's all right for my neighbor. That's all right for this other person in church, but I really don't have to do it. Are you the exception? No. You need to ask yourselves those questions when we're about to lash out on somebody. Especially if we're about to lash out on our wife. Or our wives towards their husband. Is that what Jesus would do? You know, we need to set a higher standard that reflects decency as defined by God's perfect law. We really do. In Hebrews 12, it talks about pursuing peace and holiness. We are to pursue it. Brethren, it's very important. So how do we be holy? I know that God does make us holy. But there's certain things we can do or have to make us holy. First of all, we must have God's Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit creates in us a desire for holiness. Romans 5. Romans 5 verse 5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us." So we need God's Holy Spirit. God's Spirit will help us. Will help us to make any changes we need to and be holy like He is holy. And just a couple chapters over to Romans 8. In verse 8 it says, "So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you who are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." If you're none of His, if you're not God's people, let's say, it's very difficult to have any kind of holiness. We need His Spirit. Verse 10, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." These aren't any new scriptures. Very, very common scriptures, but we do need God's Spirit. And to be a son of God, we have to be holy. So how do we be holy? Another way is we are sanctified or made holy by God's truth. Read this in Passover every year. John 17. Verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify, or you could say make holy, by God's truth. And your word is truth. Verse 19, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." Again, emphasizing God's truth, the truth of God. That's what helps us to become holy. The third thing to make us holy is to live by every word of God. Live by every word of God. Matthew 4:4. It says, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Again, this book that's on your lap is God-breathed. And we need to learn to live by every word in that book. Now, it's very easy for us to read something, say, "Oh yeah, we need to do that." But do we do it? Yeah, that person sitting in front of me, behind me, I hope he's listening so he can live by that word. No, God tells us, all of us, to live by every word of God. And we're also told to worship God in the beauty of His holiness. God's holiness is a wonderful thing. We just have to know what it is and how to live by it. To give more details on how to live by God's holiness, turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Beginning in verse 25. It says, "Therefore, putting away lying..." Well, that's one thing we have to do. that each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Again, speaking truth. Be angry and sin not. Just like Tony said, don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. It's all part of being holy, by not doing those things. Nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more. Stop stealing. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And it says in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Again, doing all these things is part of becoming holy. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In verse 1 of chapter 5 it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So brethren, we are to apply these principles if we want to be the holy people of God. That's what God expects of us. Holiness is not an option. It is required for a Christian's life and walk with God. Holiness is required for the intimate fellowship with God. Talk about this a little bit. With our intimate fellowship with God. Turn with me to Psalms 15. Psalms 15. It says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? You could say, who will be in your kingdom? Be part of your family eventually. And it says, who will? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. And so on. So those are the kind of people that he wants in his family. In other words, to live a holy life, brethren. And part of that holy life is not only doing good and doing those things, but he wants us to talk to him. God wants us in prayer to talk and have that fellowship with him. If we have any hurt feelings or anything, talk to God about it. If we need help in any certain area, talk to God about it. Also, Bible study and meditation, of course, these are things that we always mentioned. But they are required if we want fellowship with God. Not only do we talk to God, we want God to talk to us. How does he do that? Through meditation, through Bible study, and so on. Because all these words in this scripture is him talking to us. So he wants us to have that intimate fellowship with him. Holiness is also required for our own well-being, for our own good. Hebrews 12 tells us that He chastens those who he loves. That means all of us. He loves all of us, and he will chasten us for our good. Anything God does to us is because of the great love that he has for us. Because he wants us to be holy as he is holy. Holiness is also necessary for effective service to God. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 that when a person cleanses himself from sinful practices, he can be used more effectively by God. Much more effectively. We can turn to that in 2 Timothy 2. Beginning in verse 19, it says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Get rid of sin, in other words, if you're going to be part of Christ. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified," or you could say made holy, "and useful for the Master, can be used by Jesus Christ and God the Father, prepared for every good work." In other words, approved of God. So yes, holiness is necessary to be an effective servant of God. And holiness also leads us to salvation. When in Christ we become a new creation. Talked about that a little bit already. Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us and died in our stead. We now can become holy, or achieve God's righteousness and eventually be born into the family of God. So holiness is very important. God doesn't take it lightly. He wants you and I to be there. So how do you show that you are holy? Well, display the character of God. We kind of covered some of those traits already, the character of God. Display the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. Show that you are separate or different from the world. Daily live a set-apart life, not trying to blend in with the world. There's other places the Bible talks about being separate, being different. When we have God's holiness, we are different, we are separate. Be pure, morally and spiritually. That's how we can show that we are holy. Have the same mindset as Christ. Remember Philippians 4 about thinking on these things, thinking like Christ thinks? Have his mindset. And worship God properly, the way that God wants to be worshipped, not the way we think we should worship God. And don't cause division or spread lies. Proverbs 6 talks about that. Be an upright Christian, a truthful Christian, a Christian that will not cause division. Have the praise of our great God, or have praise for our great God. You can read all the Psalms, praising God. We sing praises when we sing songs. When you look at all of these things, basically you're putting your focus on God. and off the self and off the world. Have a right relationship with God and with one another. These are all things, and you could probably come up with many, many other things. Just a few things that you can do to show that you are holy or different or set aside for a special use. And also, brethren, realize only God can make something or someone holy. Man cannot do that. You need God's help to do that. I want to read 1 Thessalonians 4. Oh, wrong way. First Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 3, says, "For this is the will of God." Now, this is God's will. "Your sanctification," another word for holiness, "that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness." Again, it is very, very important to God, that we are holy, brethren. I'm only touching the surface of holiness. There's a lot more you could give, but I just wanted to touch the surface and get you thinking about it a little bit, because a lot of times we don't think of ourselves as holy. You know, but God thinks of us as holy, and He wants us to be holy. So as we have discussed, God wants us to be holy. The ways of man for the past 6,000 years have been an exercise in futility, which leads to grief and misery. Man's ways are full of faults and full of misery. I talked about that at the very beginning. Man's ways are full of grief, imperfections that lead to heartache and chaos. Now God offers us an opportunity to one day be like Him without flaws. He wants us to have the true godly peace and purity. So brethren, let's be holy as God, our Father, and Jesus Christ are holy.